You have come to the Church of the Firstborn. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 447. It is April 15, 2016. Well, today Christian is about to be received into the church, and Spurgeon is about to comment on it. But we're going to Bunyan first, just a little bit of review so you'll be able to pick up where we were yesterday. Remember, the porter is talking to Christian. He says, "I'll call out one of the virgins of this place who will, if she likes your talk, bring you into the rest of the family according to the rules of the house." And so, watchful, the porter rang a bell, at the sound of which came out of the door of the house a grave and beautiful damsel called Discretion, and asked why she was called. The porter answered, "Well, this man is in a journey from the city of destruction to Mount Zion, but being weary and benighted, he asked me if he might lodge here tonight. So I told him I would call to thee, who, after discourse had with him, mayest do as seemeth thee good, even according to the law of the house." Then she asked him whence he was, and whither he was going. And he told her, and she asked him also how he had gotten into the way, and he told her that. And then she asked him what he had seen and met with in the way, and he told her. And at last she asked his name, and so he said, "It is Christian, and I have so much the more desire to lodge here tonight, because by what I perceive, this place was built by the Lord of the Hill for the relief and security of pilgrims." And so she smiled, but the water stood in her eyes. And after a little pause, she said, "I will call forth two or three more of the family." And so she ran to the door and called out Prudence and Piety and Charity, who, after a little more discourse with him, had him into the family. And many of them, meeting him at the threshold of the house, said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. This house was built by the Lord of the Hill on purpose to entertain such pilgrims in." Then he bowed his head and followed them into the house. So when he was come in, he sat down, and they gave him something to drink, and consented together that until supper was ready, some of them should have some particular discourse with Christian for the best improvement of time. And they appointed Piety and Prudence and Charity to discourse with him. And thus they began, and we'll let that go there, as Mr. Spurgeon is just dying to get into this discussion. "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord," is the name of his next message. The porter then said to Christian, "Well, I will call out one of the virgins of the place," and so on. John Bunyan was a member of a Baptist church. He knew how to do things in an orderly manner. I've sometimes met with people who have said that in reading the Pilgrim's Progress, you cannot tell to what denomination the writer belonged. But if you study his book carefully, you will soon discover, both from what he left out and what he put in, what the good man's position was. When John Bunyan joined Mr. Gifford's church, the pastor said to him, "Well, John, I'm glad to find that you're converted, but I could not take upon myself the responsibility of receiving you into fellowship. I must ask one of my elders or deacons to see you. Someone must be appointed by the church to converse with you and to report to the rest of the members whether you should be received or not." And so, back to Bunyan. Watchful, the porter rang a bell, at the sound of which came out at the door of the house a grave and beautiful damsel named Discretion, and asked why he was called. Well, the officer of the church who is appointed to see candidates for membership should be grave in his carriage and beautiful in his character. He should be discreet yet affectionate, desirous neither to be deceived nor to let his fellow members be deceived, anxious not to be too severe so as to keep out of the church those who are truly the Lord's, and on the other hand not to be too lax so as to receive those who are not his people. And then back to Bunyan. The porter answered, Now, this man is in a journey from the city of destruction to Mount Zion, but being weary and benighted, he asked me if he might lodge here tonight. So I told him, I would call for thee, who after discourse had with him, mayest do as seemeth thee good, even according to the law of the house. And then she asked him whence he was and whither he was going, and he told her, and so on. Back to Spurgeon. This is like the examination of converts, which we generally describe under the term seeing the elders. In answer to the inquiries of discretion, Christian did not go beating about the bush and talking of other matters, but he told her at once what she wanted to know. She asked him whence he was. Well, that question was put in order to ascertain whether he knew what he was by nature. For if you do not know what you are by nature, you do not really begin to know anything aright. If you have never discovered that you were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, if you have never realized that you're a sinner, lost and undone, and further, if you have never lost your burden at the cross, you're not fit to be entertained at the Palace Beautiful, for you evidently are not a true Christian. Next, discretion asked Christian whether he was going, whither he was going. Well, that's a very important question. I'm afraid that there are many people who do not know whither they are going, whether to heaven or to hell, though they have a faint hope that possibly all may be well with them at the last. There are also some who assert that a man cannot know whether he is saved until he gets into another world. Well, surely they must have read a different Bible from the one I read every day, for that seems to me to speak very clearly upon this matter. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Surely a man is not saved without knowing it, and he does not possess peace with God without being aware that he has that peace. Back to Bunyan. She asked him also how he had got into the way, and he told her. Spurgeon. That's another inquiry that we shall put to you if you wish to unite with us in church fellowship. We shall say to you, you profess to be on the road to heaven, but how did you commence to walk in that way? What led you to go on pilgrimage? How came you to realize your need of a Savior? How did the work of grace begin in your heart? We shall not want you to tell us the day and the hour when you were converted. Some of us could tell that about ourselves, others could not. There will be no discreet virgin who will be angry with you if you cannot. Often, when it rains, it would puzzle a Solomon to tell you exactly when it began, for it was at first a kind of mist, and then it turned to a little drizzle, and afterwards it did really rain. When you were wet through, you knew that it had been raining, yet you could not have told when it began. Oftentimes, when the sun is shining, it may be that nobody can tell just when it rose, yet you know that it did rise, for you can both see it and feel it. And when I was in Switzerland one afternoon, I went up some 5,000 feet so as to sleep at an inn and to be ready for the sunrise the following day. Well, early in the morning, a big horn was blown, and everybody jumped out of bed, for that was an intimation that the sun was rising. We all ran out, wrapped in our blankets, perhaps 200 of us, and were all staring away at the east to see the sun rise. But we were too late, for the sun was up before we were there. And so is it often with the work of grace in the heart. It is there, but you do not know when it came there. This is one point upon which the discreet virgin will be sure to question you, and I trust that we shall be able to say of you, as Bunyan says of Christian, and he told her. Bunyan. Then she asked him what he had seen and met with in the way, and he told her. Spurgeon. We shall want to know what your experience has been since you became a Christian, whether you have proved the power of the prayer, and because God has answered your petitions, whether when you have been tempted, you have been able to resist the tempter and overcome him. We shall also ask you what you are doing for Christ and what you think of Christ and what are your habits with regard to reading the scriptures and private prayer and such things. Bunyan. At last she asked his name. And so he said, it is Christian, and I have So much the more desire to lodge here tonight, because by what I perceive, this place was built by the Lord of the Hill for the relief and security of pilgrims. And so she smiled, but the water stood in her eyes. And after a little pause, she said, I will call forth two or three more of the family. Spurgeon. You see, she was a tender, affectionate, gentle creature. She smiled to hear what the pilgrim said. She was pleased with his testimony, and the water stood in her eyes as she blessed the Lord that there was another soul brought out of darkness into his marvelous light. You have in this passage a reference to the different church officers. Mr. Watchful was the minister. Discretion was the deacon or elder. And then came two or three more of the family. Prudence, piety, and charity. These are the messengers of the church. Prudence, who does not want to let any hypocrites in. Piety, who understands spiritual matters and knows how to search the heart. And charity, who judges kindly, yet justly, according to the love of Christ, which is shed abroad in her heart. Bunyan. Prudence, piety, and charity, after a little more discourse with him, had him into the family, and many of them, meeting him at the threshold of the house, said, Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. This house was built by the Lord of the Hill. Then he bowed his head and followed them into the house. And so when he was come in and sat down, they gave him something to drink and consented together that until supper was ready, some of them should have particular discourse with Christian. Well, Spurgeon says, There I shall leave him for the present in good snug quarters. And I hope many of you will be tempted to come to the same door and by the same means enter into the quietude and security of the palace beautiful, Christ Church on earth. Amen. Amen. Let's go back to Bunyan and pick up that conversation that's going on with Christian. Piety says, Come, good Christian, since we have been so loving to you to receive you into our house this night, let us, if perhaps we may better ourselves thereby, talk with you of all things that have happened to you in your pilgrimage. Christian. Oh, with a very good will, and I'm glad that you're so well disposed. Piety. What moved you at first to betake yourself to a pilgrim's life? I was driven out of my native country by a dreadful sound that was in my ears, to wit that unavoidable destruction did attend me if I abode in that place where I was. But how did it happen that you came out of your country this way? It was as God would have it, for when I was under the fears of destruction, I did not know whither to go. But by chance there came a man, even to me, as I was trembling and weeping, whose name is Evangelist, and he directed me to the wicket gate, which else I should never have found, and so set me into the way that hath led me directly to this house. But did you not come by the house of the interpreter? Oh, yes, and I did see such things there, the remembrance of which will stick by me as long as I live, especially three things, to wit, how Christ, in despite of Satan, maintains his work of grace in the heart, and how the man had sinned himself quite out of hopes of God's mercy, and also the dream of him that thought in his sleep the day of judgment was come. Why, did you hear him tell his dream? Yes, and a dreadful one it was, I thought. It made my heart ache as he was telling of it, but yet I am glad I heard it. Was that all that you saw at the house of the interpreter? No, he took me and had me where he showed me a stately palace, and how the people were clad in gold that were in it, and how there came a venturous man and cut his way through the armed men that stood in the door to keep him out, and how he was bid to come in and win eternal glory. Methought those things did ravish my heart. I could have stayed at that good man's house a 12-month, but that I knew I had further to go. But what saw you else in the way? Saw? Why, I went but a little further, and I saw one, as I thought in my mind, hang bleeding upon a tree. And the very sight of him made my burden fall off my back, for I groaned under a weary burden. But then it fell down from off of me. 'Twas a strange thing to me, for I never saw such a thing before. Yea, and while I stood looking up, for then I could not forbear looking, three shining ones came to me. One of them testified that my sins were forgiven me. Another stripped me of my rags and gave me this broidered coat which you see. And the third set the mark which you see in my forehead and gave me this sealed roll.' And with that he plucked it out of his bosom. 'But you saw more than this, did you not?' 'Well, the things that I have told you were the best, yet some other small matters. I saw, as namely, I saw three men, simple, and sloth, and presumption, lie asleep a little out of the way as I came, with irons upon their heels. But do you think I could awake them? I also saw formality and hypocrisy come tumbling over the wall to go, as they pretended, to Zion. But they were quickly lost, even as I myself did tell them, but they would not believe. But above all, I found it hard work to get up this hill, and as hard to come by the lions' mouths. And truly, if it had not been for the good man, the porter that stands at the gate, I do not know but that, after all, I might have gone back again. But now I thank God I am here, and I thank you for receiving of me.'" Well, Prudence wants to talk next, and we'll let her talk next time. I don't know if it's like this at your church, that you are interviewed carefully before you are allowed in. I'm not sure how many churches do that anymore. Churches are so desperate for members, aren't they? We'll just take anybody these days, right? God has a holy church, and whether the pastor gets it or the elders or deacons get it or not, that church is going to be holy. And God has a holy people throughout the earth, a true church. And we don't know who they are always, but they're there. Well, wonderful book. Wonderful pilgrimage that we're on, going through it. That's all for this week, though. Tomorrow we take that break, and then Sunday is North Korea Day. Please join me on Sunday as we continue through our book, These Are the Generations. We're just going to wrap that up in maybe two or three more Sundays. And then Monday we get back to Bunyan and Spurgeon and who knows what all else as the Lord leads. Hey, on my website here, there's a long series on North Korea. Don't forget to click on Photos and then click on the album, the very first album that you see. And the second one is good, too. We've got over 110 picture updates on North Korea. Actually, it's more like 150, probably close to now. But every day or two or three, I'll find the news that's going on in North Korea and transfer it by picture onto that site. So you can keep up with it, knowing how to pray for it. It's not always about the Christians in North Korea. It's just about North Korea. But it still gives you an idea of what your brothers and sisters have to endure every day. And I ask that you join me in praying for that situation. God bless you today. And don't forget Hebrews 12:23, where we began. You have come to the church of the firstborn. Amen.